Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Thank you for our time today. Thank you, God, for just our praise time. Thank you for our offering, and God, that we come to you. And God, I pray that you would soften our hearts, especially those who may be hardened from just the difficulties of this life, of hardened by maybe the past or past sins, or just God, different ways that we've been, you know, stretched and wrung out. And I pray, God, that you would free us and that you would help us. Help me, God. Help me as a husband, as a father. Help me, God, just as a friend and as a member of this church. I pray, God, that you would free us. And I also pray, God, for Jeannie and Jeannie's dad and their family, God. And we know that, God, these are, he's getting just closer. And God, if it is your will, God, we know you can do it. God, you can do anything. You can do amazing things, God. And you command everything. And so if it is your will, God, we pray for a miracle now to heal and restore. And if not, God, we pray that we would submit to your will and there would be peace and joy. And God, knowing that you are our Father, you love us very much. So help us today, God. Help us. We pray for your Spirit now to come to humble us, to come before you. And thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So I think just some of the songs that we sang and some of what even Aaron prayed for, you know, we sang the song, how does it go? Jesus, you have me completely, right? Every breath that I breathe, I'm absolutely in love with you. It says, I am yours forever. All of me surrenders. I think some of those words are in there. I don't know what order. it's very important, I think, for today and as what we're talking about. I think God is setting us up to talk about this. And Henry's been preaching on the Lord's Prayer. And so, and we've been sitting on this part, Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I was just thinking about that this week and thinking about, you know, what does it mean, right? Because I think we've created this definition of a Christian where we can be a Christian, but we don't have to be submitted to God's will, right? Like, we can have the benefits, God can love us, but he better not tell me what to do, right? Especially in certain areas of my life, right? Okay, I'll come to church on Sunday, give a little money, right? Invite some people over. But then we all have these, you know, me too, right? We have these, like, these raw spots where God is trying to speak into those raw spots, and we get very sensitive, right? So, like, we don't talk to certain people about certain things, even within this room. We don't talk to certain people about certain things because, oh, it's like, well, they're kind of sensitive about that area, right? It's like, oh, we better not bring that up. And what is that? What are we really saying when we say that? What we're saying is, well, they're not free to hear what God might be saying. So God forbid that we have a hard conversation because it's kind of sensitive, right? And I'm not saying that we should be insensitive, but, right, when we say things like that, I mean, I think that too, right? Even me and Tammy in our marriage, I mean, there's like, over the years, there's certain things like, oh, well, we just don't talk about that, right? It's like, oh, it's not good timing. It's like kind of sensitive. What we're saying is, man, like, I don't know if Robert's free to hear that, because he's kind of sensitive about it. So, but here's the thing. I mean, Jesus says that he came to set us free. And so I guess question that I was thinking about is, am I free? Right? If I asked you, like, are you free? How would you answer that question? are you really free? Like, has Christ set you free? Because he says he came to set us free, right? And then, you know, we're sinful and we got our issues and we're sensitive about things and we've been injured. And so I'm not saying free to perfection, but are you free? Are you eager to be free? Do you want to be free? Do you know what it means to be free? Because I would say, I mean, just knowing myself, right, and knowing how, you know, just over the years and being a Christian, since I guess maybe about 15 years, since I was about 20, I would say that it's been hard. Like, God has had to do some kind of crazy things to free me from certain situations. Like, it's never neat and tidy. It's not like I just wake up one morning and I'm just, like, free from stuff, right? It's like, like I don't want to get up today. Like, you know, just tension and difficulty and we don't like how, and I have not historically, like, in the moment especially, liked how God has tried to free me from things. It's very painful to be freed. But that's what God says. God says he came. Jesus says he came to set us free. Okay? And I think it would be shocking, maybe a little offensive, if I were to say, and I think this is true, that most of the people in this room are not very free. Okay? And I would say, maybe more shockingly, most of the Christians that I've met, like, you know, outside of this church, most of the Christians that I just, you know, just come across, right, whether it's at work or through something or some old friend that I had from college or whoever it is, right, I would say most of them aren't free, aren't very free, right? Because they're stuck. Like, they have these, we call it, right, like splinters in the mind. They're stuck. Right? They're stuck on something. So they can't be freed from that to hear what God might be saying. So just some examples, right, of like, how do you know, like, okay, if you're going to answer that question, am I really free or not? Right? Or is God moving me towards freedom? I mean, I would just ask some of these questions, like some of these examples, and just kind of a barometer, right, to, you know, like, do you get offended easily? Do you grumble a lot about other people? Are you generally unhappy and discontent? Right? You're always thinking about, you're fantasizing about the better things that you could have because God has not given you certain things, all the better job or the better title or the better wife or the better husband, the better situation, right? Are you happy? Are you content? Do you get angry easily? Do you get annoyed easily? Right? Do you not connect well with other people? These are symptoms, right? And I'm not making this up. This is from Galatians 5, actually, when he talks about like what comes out of the flesh. I just said it in a different way. That is a barometer to let you know that you might not be free, right? And here's good news and bad news, maybe. Good news for some, bad news for others. The good news is Christ came to set us free. That's his promise. Like, if you're in Christ, he wants to set me and you free, right? So he can take out those splinters in our minds and we can be free to submit to God's will. We can be free to come under him and enjoy his will, which at times is very painful. It's not what we want. And that's why he had to send his son to die for us, to cleanse us, because you can't be unclean and be free, right? He has to clean house so that we can be free. But the bad news, I think, or good news, but feels like bad news, is that he has his methods, right? God has his way of freeing us. And it's not easy. It's a bitter pill at times, right, that we have to swallow. So, and when we're, when Jesus invites us to pray like this, your kingdom, right, your reign, God's reign, he is the king, and he is ruling, and he's inviting us into the kingdom, right? Your kingdom come. We're praying because Jesus knows that we don't want his reign. We don't want his rule naturally. So he's telling us to pray because we want to pray that God's kingdom would come, his kingship and his rule. And his will, right? We're praying that his will, we would come under his will. And that's, in many ways, he's inviting us to pray for freedom, right? To be free, to live freely under the King and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, right? He's inviting us to come into the kingdom, to be free in the kingdom, right? To be free under his will. And that means certain things. So we're going to talk about that. So we're going to talk about two things today. God's definition of freedom, number one, right? Because we have to define, and we've done this before, and if you've been here for some time, we've talked about this. This is not new stuff. But we're going to define it. Just to be clear, we're going to define it. We're going to see how God defines freedom, okay? And then, secondly, we're going to explore his methods, okay? Because just like we've talked about for the last 2 months, sometimes, most of the time, we don't like his methods. We don't like his ways, right? We don't like the way he tries to free us because it's painful. And we got to be humble, right? We get corrected a lot. We get disciplined, okay? So he's going to free us in a certain way, and we want to talk about that, okay? So God's definition of freedom. Being free doesn't mean being free, okay? So let's read Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 through 8, okay? I have it up here. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Okay, so God, this is in the burning bush, right? Moses flees Egypt. He just killed an Egyptian. He flees. He's been in the desert area for 40 years. And God comes to him, right, in a burning bush that's not burning up. And this is what God says to Moses. I've seen their affliction, right, and I've come to deliver them, okay? I've seen their slavery. And he says, I want to deliver them. I want to free them, right, from Egypt and bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, okay? So I think he meant it literally, right? I think that's what God did, right? You fast forward, right, some years. He frees them, literally. He physically frees them out of the land of Egypt. You know, there's a big story 40 years later, and they get into the promised land. So, I mean, he physically does. I mean, he does literally what he says he will do, okay? But is that really what God meant exactly, right? Is that the only thing that he meant? I'm just going to physically free them and physically let them go into the promised land, okay? I don't think so, okay? So I don't think that's what he's saying. So Exodus 17, verse 3, this is after the 10 plagues, after the Passover, after they come out of the Red Sea, and they're happy, and God saves them, right? But they're not in the promised land yet, right? They still got a journey. And they're wandering, right? They're at the foot of Mount Sinai, and God's taking them around and doing some stuff. And I think you've heard that if they took a straight shot from the Red Sea up to Canaan / Israel, 2 weeks, like 2 to 3 week journey, right? But they're like roaming around Mount Sinai, and they're just going around in this desert, right? And understandably, right, I think if I were there, right, I'd be grumbling too, okay? So Exodus 17:3, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So we were better off, right? We thought we wanted to be free, right? But if this is what freedom means, then I don't want to be free, right? So curse you, God, for freeing us. Okay, so Exodus 32, 7 through 8. And the Lord said to Moses, so this is after God and Moses are talking for a while, and after they keep grumbling, and there's just a lot of things going on. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Okay? They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed it. So it says they turned away, right, from what God had commanded. They have corrupted themselves. So they were free, but they were a little too free. Okay? They were free. They were a little too free, right? I mean, even in like the United States, right, we have talk about the freedom of speech, talk about the right to bear arms. I mean, we have all these freedoms even in the United States. If you're a citizen, right, you have all these freedoms, right? But when people take advantage of those freedoms, right, they're a little too free, right? So then you have like the white supremacists and the alt-right, and you got all these crazy people and like expressing themselves, and well, they have a right to, according to that law of freedom, they can say whatever they want to say. But is that right? But it makes us feel uncomfortable, right? Because they're a little too free, right? So freedom doesn't mean being free, right? Freedom means coming under the law, right? There's a set of expectations. So they were a little too free. And God wanted to teach him a lesson, right? That's not why I brought you out of the promised land. Not just to be free from Egypt and free from your suffering, free from your taskmasters, but there's a different definition of freedom that has to do with his word and his commandments. Okay, so fast forward to Deuteronomy 8:3. Okay, if you guys know the story, what happens is, so I did the, you know, Old Testament. I don't actually even remember the hand signs, so I have to go back and memorize them again. But, you know, they wander around, so they send in, they come to the edge of the promised land, right? After Mount Sinai, they get the Ten Commandments, and then this happens, like the golden calf, and then Moses throws the tablets on the ground, and he gets really upset, and God's going to smite them, and Moses intercedes, and then he gets another two tablets, right? Same Ten Commandments. And then they get to the edge of the promised land, and they send in the spies, right? And Joshua and Caleb and 10 others. And the spies come back, and Joshua and Caleb are like, we should go in. You know, the Lord will fight for us. The other 10 are, you know, they're like, oh, like we can't trust God. So God makes them wander in the desert for 40 years because they did not trust him, okay? So what happens in that 40-year span is that the first generation dies out. So all the first generation of Israelites, they die out, and the second generation comes up, okay? And you know, once they get into the promised land, that's where Joshua takes leadership over it. So Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, is at the edge of the promised land the second time, right, on the other side of the Jordan River. Moses gives them the law again, right? So he's re-preaching, essentially, like parts of Exodus and Leviticus, right, and Numbers. So he's re-preaching it as his second sermon, second sermon, okay? And this is what Moses says in chapter 8, okay? And he's addressing the Israelites. He's saying, and God humbled you, he let you hunger, he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So God's promise for them to be free, right, to possess a land, right, was primarily about how to live, right? God loved them. I mean, God wanted to make them happy, right? So when I see the words, man does not live by bread alone, I think, like, live also means, like, live happily, live freely, right? God wants people to live, and he's telling us how we can live. Not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So God let them wander in the desert for 40 years. He let them go hungry. He let them grumble. He let them die, frankly, suffer, so that they would know that life and freedom and joy and peace is fueled, right? Where you get that from is not the bread that you eat or the cars that you drive or the job that you have or how successful your children are, right? Or whether people in your life live and die. Whether, you know, you do not live that way. You truly live freely by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And he needed to teach them that before they got into the promised land. That is exact. So Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3 explains exactly why God let them wander and didn't just do a straight shot into the promised land. Because he needed to teach them, this is what it means to be free. Okay? Doesn't mean that you are just out of captivity, out of, you know, slavery, out of task mastering and abuse from the Egyptians. It's to be free to come under the word of God, to be fueled and fed by every word and command and law that comes out of the mouth of God, right? So, frankly, even for myself, we either believe that or we don't, okay? And I would argue that on a day-to-day basis, myself included, most of us don't believe that. Most of us do not believe that the fuel to really live and be happy and be free is primarily by every word that comes from the mouth of God, that his commands set us free. So that when he says, go love people that are hard to love, go open your home, right? Seek first the kingdom. All of these commands that God has are to be free. And I would say, just one more time, like, I would argue that most of us probably don't really believe that. And the question is, well, how do we believe that, right? Do you want to believe that? Because Christ says he came to set us free. So if you don't like the way that God is, his methods, then maybe you don't want to be free. Maybe I don't want to be free. I don't know, right? I mean, those are tough questions, right? So when I first asked the question, like, are you free or do you want to be free? You're all probably, I would love to be free. Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good to be free, right? But if freedom means to be completely submitted to every word that comes out of the mouth of God, and that is the primary definition of freedom, to be free, to be submitted, well, that's a different story, right? I mean, when I was in college, right, I know, like, I have a reputation for not being a particularly healthy or fit person, but I did actually used to work out, right? I did. There was like a 6 month window, my second year of college, when I worked out, and, you know, protein shakes and things like that, and there was no shortcuts, right? And I was frustrated at how much the way that, like, getting stronger and healthier had to happen. Like, you can't just, like right now, my mom thinks, like, you know, popping, like, Centrum vitamins every night is going to, like, make me live until I'm 100, right? Like, okay, well, that's, like, an easy way, but you could, I don't care how many vitamins you take in a day, like, you're not going to be healthy if you're not healthy, right? So, like, being healthy, there's a way to be healthy. There's a method, and it's very arduous. Like, you got to run, you got to watch what you eat, you got to, you know, you got to, like, if you can't have cravings, you can't eat late at night. I mean, there, like, you have to, like, you know, do different types of workouts. I mean, there's a way. And, like, popping vitamins and, you know, drinking a smoothie once every 3 months that's kind of healthy for you, like, that's trying to shortcut the way. And God is saying, like, you cannot shortcut the way to be free, like, truly free. It is by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And when I say word, right, I don't mean just, like, jamming the Bible in your head for 5 hours a day, right? I mean, it's part of that, by the way. I mean, you have to know what it says, but it is understanding what it says, understanding what God is commanding, and coming underneath what God is saying, being submitted to what he's saying practically. So when you go to work tomorrow, or you have to face your boss who's not treating you very well, or your spouse, and you guys are, you know, having a tough relationship, whatever it is, I mean, there are commands that God has to be loving and humble and kind and patient and forgiving, right? And we don't like that. We don't like that way of being free, okay? Let me read Joshua 23:5-8. So after Deuteronomy, after Moses preaches the second sermon, this is like, then they cross the Jordan, Moses dies, Joshua takes leadership, he goes over the Jordan River, then they start conquering the land, right? They start conquering the land of Canaan and Israel, and this is after they've conquered it, okay? So Joshua 23 is after they've conquered it, and now he's dividing up the 12 tribes, giving them physical land, right? And this is like one of his like closing-ish statements, okay? Joshua 23. The Lord your God will push them, okay, the surrounding nations, back before you and drive them out of your sight. Okay, you remember God promised, right, back in the burning bush, that he will give them a land flowing with milk and honey, right? So God did that, okay, at the time he did that. And you shall possess this land or their land just as the Lord God, your God, promised you. Therefore, okay, he doesn't just stop there. If he stopped there, you'd say, oh, okay, well, God just wanted to free us and give us a land, right? And rule the land. But Joshua, he puts a condition. Therefore, because of that, therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, but you shall cling to the Lord your God. And then he goes on to say, don't bow to the neighboring nations, right? The gods of the neighboring nations. Don't submit to them, right? Don't submit to their pagan ways. Continue to submit to God, right? Cling to him. So even the very condition of possessing the land was predicated on, well, you got to be strong and you got to do what God says. You got to care about what he says. You got to care about his commands, okay? So their freedom, in a sense, was directly tied to coming under God's word. Okay? So, number two, so that's I think, gives us a kind of an Old Testament view of, like, how is God really defining freedom? Okay? So being free is not really just being free, right? Clearly, right? Being free and even possessing a land is still connected to, or tightly connected to, coming under God's word and every command that comes out of God's mouth. So, number two, God's method of freeing us: to be completely freed by God, we must be wholly submitted to God. Okay? John chapter 8, 31-32. This is Jesus talking now. If you abide in my word, if you remain, stay close to my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is, I think, why so many Jews were disappointed by Jesus eventually, right? Is because they thought he was coming to free them literally, right? Just like Moses had freed them from, right, the rule of the Egyptians, Jesus was coming to make, as the king of the Jews, to make the nation of Israel very powerful, right? And this is kind of ultimately what got him killed, right? Is that the Pharisees didn't really like that, and the Romans didn't really like that. They didn't want political unrest, you know, with the Jews and the Pharisees and all that, right? So Jesus then says, well, let me flip that upside down, okay? What it means to be free is for the truth to set you free. Okay, so what it means for us to be free, right, is not just to live in a nice nation where we get freedom to say whatever we want and buy whatever we want and eat whatever we want. Freedom is in the heart, in the mind, to be free, right, from what people think of us, free from our possessions and our money, right, free from anxiety and fear from the future, right? Free, because like I said earlier in the beginning, right, the reason that we have these like raw and sensitive spots that we don't talk to people about is because we're not free from that. So Jesus says, if you abide in my word, the truth will set you free. Those splinters, right, will start to come out. So that when people have harsh things to say about you, like, you won't get as offended, right? And you might actually welcome it, right? And in order to do that, right, the word has to abide. I think abide, actually, I was doing a little bit of research on that word. I think it's not quite as, the English word is not quite as strong, I think, as, like, I think the original word seems to be. It's really more like tethered. It's like wound up, right? Like a cord, right? And so it really is not just like, oh, well, that's a good word. Jesus, that's a good teaching, right? It's you are just wound up with what God is saying, and it's going to set you free, okay? Romans 6, 7. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Okay? So dying, right, is just another way of saying you gotta like be submitted to God. You gotta like lose your self-will so that you can come under his will. So that you can be set free. Okay? Now, like I said, I would argue that all of us want to be set free, right? I don't know that we like being anxious or like being stressed or like being angry or like being annoyed at people, right? In and of itself, right? We like it when, you know, we don't get what we want and it like annoys us, right? So, but it says, in order to be set free, you have to die. The one who has died has been set free, okay? 1 Peter 2, 16 through 18. Live as people who are free, okay? Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So I did this in preparing for today. If you just type, go to BibleGateway.com, just type free, and just look at every New Testament, or almost every New Testament, you know, reference to it, whether the author is trying to say something theological. Freedom is always tied to the command to serve people. Okay? So again, we think freedom means if I get freedom of speech, well, I'm just going to go say whatever I want to say because no one's going to stop me. Right? But what Jesus says is if you're free, if you can take those splinters out of your mind and you're free now, go serve people. Because that's like when you take the energy of being free and you focus it in what God commands, it's to serve people and to love one another. So it says live, right? Live and be free, right? But don't use your freedom to cover up evil, but live to serve God and serve one another, okay? So it goes on to say, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor, right? Honor your bosses. Honor that president that we have, right? I mean, right? They're not particularly, you know, honor your husband. Actually, I'll show you 1 Peter 3:1 if Chris wants to jump ahead. Likewise, this is in the same context of freedom. Likewise, wives, be subject to your husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. All in the context of freedom, right? What it means to live as a free person, right? You talk to Tammy for 10 minutes behind closed doors, she'll tell you, right? Yeah, like, that guy Robert, not exactly easy to submit to, right? Not like I deserve it, right? Not like any of you particularly deserve it. So wives, submit to your husbands, not because they deserve it, but because you're free. You're free to do so. Right? Because you fear God and you want to do it unto him. That's what Ephesians 5 says. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. right? Honor the emperor as unto the Lord. The emperor, by the way, that's imprisoning your friends and killing other Christians, right? Honor the emperor as unto the Lord. And I'll just tell you, you can't honor the emperor, you can't honor the president unless you're free, okay? Unless you're free to do so, unless God has set you free. Because it's not about whether they deserve it or not. It's about, well, God has set me free to be loving, okay? I'm not saying we have to agree with everything that the president says, by the way, but we do have to honor him according to this. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Okay? This is a hard one, right? Servants, be subject to your masters, not only to the good, but also to the unjust. You can't do that unless you're free. Okay? You can't do that unless you're free. Galatians 5, 13 through 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Pretty much the same thing that Peter is saying, right? But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this morning, actually, was feeding the kids, and Abby's 7.5 now. She's getting a little older, and so Caleb and Leah finished first, which isn't typical actually. Abby usually finishes first because she's so fast. But they ran off and they were just playing, and I asked Abby. I said, Abby, can you take Leah and Caleb's dishes and can you put them in the sink? She's like, but they're not my dishes, right? I said, I know they're not your dishes, right? And I was like thinking about the sermon too, right? I was like, Abby, are you free to do this, right? She's like, no. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, okay, all right, we'll talk later, right? But she wasn't free, right? And I understand that. I mean, she's 7.5, right? Henry tells the story about, like, the shopping carts, right? Like, at Costco, he felt so good about himself, like, taking the shopping cart back, right, to the front of the store. But that's, like, his own shopping cart, right? Like, you probably should take that back, actually, right? But, like, would you walk around and, like, all the other people that have, like, kicked their shopping cart up onto the curb, like, would you take that? Like, walk around and, like, you're not being paid by Costco to do that. Would you walk around and do that? I mean, I don't. Number one, got like 3 kids in the car going crazy, so it's hard to find time to do that. But even if I was by myself and I had the time to, like, I was like, oh, right? Doesn't feel right. What I'm saying is, God set us free to do that. Of course it's unfair, right? Of course it's unjust. Of course rulers and leaders that have power are going to be unjust. Of course, right? Of course husbands are not going to be perfect. Of course, right? God assumes that. Right? Of course, your Christian or non-Christian boss or your friends or your church, of course they're going to make mistakes, right? Of course they don't deserve it. But are you free? That's the question. Are you free to do it? Has God set you free? Right? Because his method of freeing us is tied to serving one another. So, hard for Abby, totally understand, right? And so let's jump down. That was Galatians 5:13. Jump down to Galatians 5:22-24. But the fruit of the Spirit, okay, this is in the context, actually, of freedom, right? That Paul's talking. But the fruit of the Spirit, or, Robert Hahn's non-canon, interpretation, or one way to potentially interpret it, is the fruit of someone who is freed by the Spirit, okay? The fruit of someone who is freed by the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no laws. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay? So those who belong to Christ have been set free. Not perfectly, right? We got to respect the beast, right? That's inside, right? Sin. We have to respect it. But we've been set free so that if you host home group one Friday, right, and all the kids make a mess of your house, right, then you can host home group the next Friday, right? I don't know how many lunches Henry pays for, but he uses the example of paying for all these people's lunches, right? So you can pay for someone's lunch, and instead of getting, 50-50, you get the next one, he pays again, or we pay again, right? So that when we hear the criticism or the feedback about this sermon or about what kind of husband I am or what I could be doing better, right? And I'm not saying I do this perfectly, right? But we can take it, right? Because we're free to hear what God is doing, to hear what he might be saying, okay? Just one other sort of kind of a funny example. So I have this, I was going to try to take a picture of my car. I have this old car, right? It's like 2005 Subaru Legacy. Tammy thinks it's like a death trap on wheels, right? It's like you're on the highway, you go over 60. It's like shaking a lot. I let James borrow it one time. I was like, oh gosh, I hope nothing bad happens to James. Like the wheels just don't pop off the car, right? But you know what? I kind of like cars in some ways, right? I mean, it kind of makes you feel good to have a nice car, right? But what I've learned through having this really junky car is that it's freeing, right? The other day I work in Arlington, and if you work in the city, there's just these super tight parking garages, and you have to go around pillars, right? And you're just navigating through. And I was on the phone, and I just I don't even think I told Tammy. I just ran into a pillar, right? So if you look at the front of my car, I didn't bring it today. There's just this big, red cheese cut, in the front of my bumper. And I just ran into it. And the first thought I had was man, I don't feel bad at all right now, right? It's I'm just free, right? This is amazing, right? So if I had a nice car, right, I'd be so upset. And I was like, as long as fluid isn't leaking and there's the headlights a little bent. I'm free. Yeah, that's good, right? It's a silly example, right? But when we are able to value the things, even if you have a nice car, by the way, right? Even if you paid a lot of money for it, you have to see it for what it is. It's just a car, right? There'll be another car, right? It doesn't matter if it's a nice car or a junky car, right? But the point of the story is you have to value it the way that God wants you to value it, which is it's not that valuable, right? So that if you happen to be talking on the phone and you run into a pillar, right? Okay, good, yeah. At least the headlight's not broken, right? Yeah. So, it's such a silly example. I just felt so free. Man, this is great. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to call insurance. I don't even have to tell Tammy because she probably wants that car to get blown up anyways, right? It's like, no, it's just free, right? It's free. Good, right? It's funny with a junky car. It's not so funny when it's our pride, right? And our reputation. It's not so funny when, right? It's things that we really, care about. So when God says those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, the reason you get offended, or the reason I get offended, or I get annoyed, right? So I haven't crucified, because it still matters a lot to me, right? If it didn't matter a lot to me, my car, I don't care if I get hit or I hit something, right? And right, but if it's something I care about, like my reputation, right? Well, then it hurts a little bit more, right? Then I care about it. So God's prescription, right, and his command to crucify the flesh with its passions and his desires, it's his command to free you, right? To be free. I think sometimes, in my mind really changed on this just a few years ago. I think we see Christianity and God's commands as so restricting, right? It's like I'm drinking life through a straw, right? Because I can't do all these things that I really want to do. And And we feel like it's so pious and, oh, like I'm being such a holy person by, you know, putting all these filters on my phone and my computers and not doing these things and not drinking wine or whatever, right? Really, what God, you know, it's not about being pious. It's about being set free, right? It's about restricting so that you can be free and God can kill the fleshly desire so that you can be free to love, free to hear feedback, free to whatever, right? Let me close with Philippians 4, 11 through 13. This is Paul, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned, right? I have learned, that's an important word, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content or happy, right? I know how to be brought low, I know how to abound. I know how to have a junky car, and I know how to have a nice car, right? In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, success and failure, people looking at me very highly, people looking at me very lowly, right? Having a great reputation, having a terrible reputation, right? He says, I've learned the secret, and I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So, just to close on a few things. I mean, I think learn is an important word here because you got to learn it, right? There's no shortcuts. I got to learn it. God's got to teach it to me, right? And it's learned in the school of hard knocks, right? It's learned. You have to learn it, right? You got to deal. God's going to bring difficult people in your life, right? God's going to give you a tough boss. He's going to give you a tough client, right? Your wife's going to say some stuff, right? Or your husband's going to say some stuff. It's learned. The secret to contentment, it's learned, right? It's not zapped. So when we pray, right, to circle this back to the beginning, when we pray, God, your kingdom come, and your will be done, we are inviting God to teach us to come under him, to be free, so that we can be happy, right? So God, that's God's business. He's in the business of doing this thing, right? And frankly, God help you if he's not doing it, okay? If he's not taking you through that and causing consternation in your life, so that you can come to these situations and find out how sinful you are, so that you can repent and be freed, and God can teach you through that, right? God help you, because that's his business. That's what he's doing. That's what he does for his children. He disciplines those he loves, right? So let me close with the last slide, and just I'll read it. Jesus came to set the world free. Free from being offended easily, free from grumbling at others, free from discontentment, envy, covetousness, free from anger and fits of rage, free from ourselves. To be wholly freed, we must be wholly submitted to God's will, his rule, his kingdom, and his law. Only when we can be wholly freed and only then can we be completely freed, free to love him and others with an inexhaustible well. Okay? Let's pray. This is not easy for me. I'm sure Tammy would love to have a conversation about the last 15 years, right? And I'm not trying to make it sound like this happens easily. or that I'm even like arrived, right? Or that any of us have really arrived. What I am saying, or what I think God is saying, is when we talk about his kingdom, when we talk about his will, we have to have courage to explore the raw spots, right? The sensitive spots when they come, okay? And I know some of you, just really frankly, you're just spinning, right? Your mind is full of splinters because you cannot be free to hear what God is saying. You cannot be free to hear what he's saying about your work. You cannot be free to hear feedback about certain things, right? You're not free to have certain types of conversations, right? You're not free to honor people who don't deserve to be honored, right? And God has come to set us free, and that is just such great news, right? And even in my small ways, right, it is wonderful to be free, right? It is wonderful to be set free, and God came to set us free so that we can love him and love others completely, right, with no sense of a limit, right? He will fill that well, and he will help us, right? So let's pray, and let's pray, God, help me to submit to your will. Help me to be free, because I want to be free, and I want to be more loving, and I want to be more patient, I want to be more gentle with my children. Help set me free from my wrong expectations and what I expect from a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 7-year-old, right? Set me free from that, so that I can have the right set of expectations to be more loving and gentle, to instruct them more, right? To teach them more faithfully, right? To give them more time and not see them as, you know, kids that are getting in my way. So let's pray. Let's ask God to help us, because he will be helpful. And I believe that. So let's pray for a few minutes, and then John can lead us.